Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Morgan Sports Live is in full effect. My name is Lamont Germany, high atop 16 on the park. Rooftop restaurant, we are on the top of the Residence Inn. 800 Wolf Streak is where it happens tonight as it's homecoming week at Morgan State University. And it's a Morgan Nation homecoming celebration. That's what we're all about for the next hour. We invite you to join us as we'll be here on the rooftop. 16 on the park as we'll be on the roof during the course of the evening as Morgan State University celebrating homecoming 2018. Bears are getting set to take on the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Again, we are counting it down. We are just 43 hours away. I pull in my partner. That's Renard Stubbs. Hey, Stubbs, been a couple of weeks since the Bears have been on the field, but it was a real good feeling down there in Greensboro as the orange and the blue got it done.
Yeah, the orange and the blue got it done in a big-time way, LG. And, you know, we came in off of our, I think, best game of the season up in Albany. You know, we lost the last-minute contest in Albany, but went down to Greensboro, man, got it done. It was real sweet.
I tell you what, I feel so good, man. I'm gonna go ahead and give some stuff away tonight. What you think, man?
I'm just gonna
give away some stuff for free. Okay. Anybody that's in the house, I need some answers to some questions for some free gear, either WEAA, radio station gear, or Morgan State University athletic gear. It'll be your choice. As you know, homecoming Saturday is this Saturday. The Bears will take on the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. The question, ladies and gentlemen, here in the house is who did Morgan beat down in last year's homecoming? If you know the name of the institution that got wounded by the Bears last year, I need you front and center with the answer, and we got a little something for you to get this party started here at 16 on the park. Again, we are 800 Wolf Street on the top of the Residence Inn. Trivia question to kick off the evening. Give me the opponent last year when Morgan State University was celebratory in their victory over an institution I need the name of to get a grand prize. You know, Renard, somebody told us, I don't know, about 6, 7, 8, 9 months ago that it was a new day for Morgan State University. That's the word that I got, that it was a new day. And you know what, Stubbs, I got receipts. I got some confirmation that, in fact, it is a new day at Morgan State University. Those receipts were stamped in Greensboro, North Carolina, about 2 weeks ago, and it sounded a little something like this.
Here we go, folks. Put your hands on the radio and say, I believe.
It's a new day.
It will be a 36-yard effort.
It's a new day.
It will come near side pass mark.
It's a new day.
It will come from the DJ Golot hole.
It's a new day.
It will come with 2 seconds remaining in the game. It would win the game.
It's a new day.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
Here we go. Snap, spot, kick. It's all good.
Feeling good.
The Bears have gotten it done. All over. MSU comes on the road. They fight the power and they beat the power. The Aggie winning streak is over. Believe it, the Bears have achieved it. They beat the North Carolina A&T Aggies by a count of 16-13.
It's a new dawn.
You know, when Nina Simone says it's a new day, I got to go with Nina on that one. It must be a new day. Morgan State style, as the Bears indeed got the big win that shook up the world. They beat North Carolina A&T. And Renard, the guy that told us when he first came on board as a head coach back in December that it was going to be a new day, he joins us. That's the head coach, Morgan State University football, Ernest Jones. And Coach Jones, we're going to have to start listening to you, man, when you tell us stuff. You said it was a new day indeed. It's a new vibe at Morgan State University.
That's right, Irvine. It's a new day. I mean, we're excited about the rebirth of the Bears' pride and tradition here at Morgan State University. We're not thinking about the past in regards to what happened in 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We're talking about right here, right now, what's happening. It's truly a new day at Morgan State University.
And, of course, for you guys, the focus can't be on that celebration in Greensboro a couple of weeks ago. It has to be on the challenge in front of us on Saturday. when the Bears take on the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Talk about your team, Coach, and their focus on trying to handle the challenge from South Carolina State in 2 days.
Absolutely. South Carolina State, I mean, that's the team that beat us a year ago. So, you know, who are us to go and say that we can go out here and win this football game? We're going to do our very best to try to win it. Buddy Pugh is one of the greatest football coaches to coach FCS football. I mean, he's a legend on himself, living, coaching. So we're excited about this game. But the team is very focused in playing this football game. We understand that it's homecoming. We understand that there'll be 12 or 13,000 people in the stands looking to be excited about a victory at homecoming. So they've practiced very, very well. They're focused. They're ready to go. I mean, we're excited about this home game being played in Hughes Stadium on Saturday.
As you know, Coach, there are some doubters out there about what happened in Greensboro a couple of weeks ago. They want to know whether or not Morgan just had, I don't know, one of those Buster Douglas moments. Buster got in the ring, knocked out Mike Tyson. You never heard from Buster Douglas again. Is this a Buster Douglas moment, or is this something that the Bears plan to sustain week in, week out, year in, year out?
I mean, you said it yourself. You know, when we came on board, we told you it was a new day. We told you what it was going to be like, what it was going to look like. That's what it's been. We told you that this football team needed an identity. We said we're going to be a football team that runs the football on offense, be a physical run, dominant run team. We said we're going to be aggressive on defense, getting after the quarterback, making him throw the football, get it out of his hand, not now, but right now. We said that all of our good players was going to be on special teams. We said that's who we were going to be. That's what we were going to do. We said we were going to get better week after week after week. Week one to week two, week two to week three, week three to week four, four to five, and that's what you've seen.
Bringing in my partner, Renard Stubbs.
Yeah, Coach, one of the weak spots the last season was our special teams. And I noticed, I think it was the Albany game, I was watching your kickers, and Ray, I think he kicked about four or five balls into the end zone, and we didn't see that from him the last couple of seasons. And then for him to be able to come up with two huge field goals to win the game against the number one black college team in the country, the number four team in the country. What did it take, Coach? I mean, I can remember last season, they didn't even play in the last game. Our kicking game was so bad. So what did it take? What brought this turnaround on that we're all happy to see? But I want to give kudos out to the place kickers. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have won that game. But what was the key to turning those kids around?
Again, when we talk about the new day, what we did is we're committed to our special teams, full staff. Every member on our staff has a coaching position on all special teams, including myself. So we've made it important. We've also made all of our players, offense and defense, play on special teams. So if you want to start on our special teams, you have to go play on at least two of our special teams. So we don't just put our young players or players who don't play a lot. Our best players play on special teams. And then those kicking scenarios. We put Alex Ray in those scenarios ever since we've gotten here. So we've seen him make those kicks day in and day out. It's some competition because we got Nick O'Shea in there, who's another talented kicker. Both of those guys can kick just as well as Alex kicked that last field goal. So there was no doubt in our mind that Alex could go out there and make those kicks. Expect to see him make many more kicks throughout this season.
That's your coach. That's Ernest Jones, head coach, Morgan State University. We're talking Morgan State football on Morgan Sports Live. Going to be with you until the top of the hour. Homecoming Saturday is this Saturday. Bears will be at Hughes Stadium set to take on the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Homecoming 2018, Morgan State style. Coach Jones was kind enough to bring a member of his staff along for the ride. And we're going to bring in the assistant coach. He's a co-defensive coordinator, co-special teams coordinator. He coaches those outside linebackers. He is Antonio James, and he is one of the architects of that Morgan State University defense that's been making some noise, Coach James. Tell me, what's the secret recipe the boys on the defensive side of the rock have been getting it done?
It's honestly just the players. They believe in the coaching staff. They believe in what we put out in front of them, and they work their butts off every day to be the best, to compete. We give out the money ball every day of practice, so they've been going to get in the game, and you start to see everything translate over.
Well, talk about that money ball, Coach, because you got a team that is taking the rock away from folk. Lead the conference with 12 takeaways so far in the 2018 season, on pace for 30, maybe even 40 takeaways. That would put you in national leadership for takeaways. Obviously a priority. Tell me why this defense has been so successful of taking away the rock.
I believe we took on the challenge. Last year, we didn't do a great job of taking the ball away as much as we needed to. We're watching teams get up there and get 3-4 turnovers a game, and we accepted that challenge and decided to step up and do it. And our guys are just taking it one game at a time, you know, and work to be better than the last week.
A part of your responsibility is also special teams, and we saw special teams step up in a big way in Greensboro a couple of weekends ago. Elaborate, Coach, on the importance of special teams overall, and what should we look for throughout the rest of the seasons in our special teams play?
Well, special teams is a third of the game. You know, everybody emphasizes offense and defense so much, but special teams is one explosive play. You can return a kick, block a punt, make a field goal, and it changes the whole course of the game. And like Coach reiterated before, you know, we put our best players out there. Every coach is involved with it, and that's what it's going to be. And we're going to stick to it and put our best players out there. Look, coming forward, you know, we're going to keep grinding it out. You know, we'll get some young guys in there who are playing throughout the season, earning reps on defense, offense. They're earning reps on special teams, and we'll still have our good guys out there.
Of course, one of the units that has been stepping it up all season long is a unit, Coach, that I believe is probably one of the best in the MEAC, if not in the nation. I'm talking about that linebacker group, and I know that's another group that you have responsibility for, specifically those outside linebackers. You got some talent to deal with. Young man we'll be talking to in a few minutes, Ian McBurrow, another one of those outside linebackers. Talk about them as a group and how important is it for them to perform in order for the defense to be effective.
It's extremely important. And those young guys, they come in every single day prepared to work. They come in with their hard hat on. They go to work with the lunch pail. They're ready to go. They know when it's time to be serious. We get on the field. It's no games, no jokes. It's okay to be candid and upfront with those guys, and they're ready to get after it. And they compete within that room to be the best, and each one of them want to be the best. And so that's, you start to see that competition take hold on the field, and it's always a competition with those guys and then with that throughout our defense as well. And it's important for every position group on defense to play hard for us to win and be successful. We're not good enough for anybody to take a day off or to not perform at the top level and still be the good team, a great team that we want to be.
Antonio James joining us here, Morgan Sports Live. We're talking Morgan State University football as they get set to take on the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Coach James, one stat that kind of leaps off the page when you look at that Morgan D is your third down conversion defense. You get folks off the field on third down. I think the Aggies were like 1 of 12, but not even just against the Aggies. Game in and game out, I think we're first in the conference, 3 or 4 in the country, and getting folks off the field on third down. And I know if you could put that in a bottle and sell it, you'd be a very rich man. But what is the recipe for being able to get teams to do that 1-2-3 kick time in and time out?
It's honestly, it's the players. Every time they go out there, you know, our back end is doing a phenomenal job at covering receivers and not giving the quarterback good opportunities to throw the ball up front. And in the linebacker group, we're getting after the quarterback with blitzes and rushes and just our four-man rush patterns. And we're forcing decisions to be made. And those guys, it always comes back to the players. Those guys are playing their butts off, and that's why they're going to continue to be successful.
That's Antonio James, assistant coach, Morgan State University. I appreciate you, Coach. I'm going to ask you to hand the microphone to your athlete. We're going to bring him on in just a moment, but we want to throw a question at Coach Jones about the other side of the ball. Offensively, I think there are a lot of things that you're looking at Morgan State University to be able to step up. You've made no secret about what you want to do on offense. You said you want to run the rock, and you have been determined to run the rock. I think the offense hasn't done the things that we hope they will do as time progresses. Talk to me about the progression on the offensive side of the ball and where do you see that offense going, not only this Saturday against South Carolina State, but as we progress throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm very excited about where our offense is right now. I mean, they've been getting better each and every week. DeAndre is just trying to come into his own. We don't expect to be a team that'll score 40, 50 points a game. That's not what we want to do. We'll be okay with a 12-10 game, a 9-7 game. We want to be a physical, grind you out, run the football, hit you in the mouth, not trying to fool you, not trying to trick you. That's who we want to be. But DeAndre's getting better. He's telling us about some throws that he likes, some formations that he likes, and we're giving him some of those throws, and he's making some of those throws. Our wide receivers have to catch the football and turn it into a big play if we want to see those enormous-type numbers in regards to the throw game. But they're getting better and better each and every week. We have some explosive players at the wide receiver spot. We just need to get the football in their hand and let them go make those explosive plays. But we're going to put our money on our running backs, Josh Chase and Jordan Riggins, because that's what we want to do. We believe in that offensive line that we have. So what you will see is what you've been seeing, more rush yardage each and every game. We've improved our rush yardage every game we played, and we plan to do that versus South Carolina State this weekend.
Yeah, Coach, aside from Riggins, your two running backs and Josh Chase, in my commentary of the game, I also thought it was important to get your quarterback involved in rushing the football. And when you did that, he had an outstanding game, and then he had two straight outstanding games running the football. And I just felt like that would open up your inside rushing game if you got your quarterback involved. You've been doing that. And, of course, last week it came out to be a huge victory.
Yeah, we agree. Our quarterback, we've told him, any quarterback that wants to come to Morgan State has to have the ability to run with the football. And that's something that DeAndre had not done in the past. So it just took a couple weeks to get him saying, this coaching staff is really going to want me to run the football. Now he's getting more comfortable doing it. He's holding on, trying to protect the football. But if we can get him to rush for 70 to 100 yards a game, we feel like we'll be pretty successful on Saturdays.
Yeah, and then I think that has been the recipe over the last couple of games. Successful, one we lost, one we won. We'll see what we can do on Saturday.
Yeah, we feel pretty good about the game plan that we have in place. Again, Buddy Pough is known for his defense, his front seven, and our mind is as good as A&T's front seven. So they're going to be a difficult team to try to run the football on, but we're going to try to go run the football against them.
Coach, going to take time to talk to one of the athletes that you brought along for the ride tonight, one of the key cogs in that Morgan State University defense.
He's a quarterback sacker. He's a search and destroy linebacker.
My name is Rico Kennedy, 6'3", 215, from Broward County, Florida, and I went to Dillard High School. It's a new day.
Rico Kennedy with a tackle for loss. The Morgan outside backer drops him for about 3 yards. It'll be a second and 13 for the Aggies.
I tell you what, Rico Kennedy ain't no joke, Lamont. He had 19 tackles for losses last season. He has about 4 or 5 this season. Did a nice job getting into the Aggie backfield.
Rico Kennedy, there he is, number 28, up in the house.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Rico Suave?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Especially doing good after you treated me well in Greensboro a couple of weeks ago. You know that got me smiling, and that's where I'm going to start with you, man. That's a big win. That reverberated around the nation, around the HBCU universe. There are a whole lot of folks who did not see that coming. A&T, of course, had a resume that was extraordinary. And there were some who didn't think they were going to lose a game this year.
Yes,
did Rico Kennedy see what happened in Greensboro coming?
Like our head coach talked about it all season, you know, it's all about what matters in the room. You know, the head coaches, from all the players to all the coaches to all the staff, everyone, we all seen it because we all believe in each other. And like Coach Jones said, it's a new day. So we just believe in the process and everything he's teaching us to do. And the sky's the limit for what we can do, but we believe it.
High-powered offense, man, North Carolina A&T, putting up 30, 40 points a weekend, doing it against high-caliber competition. But then they ran into the brick wall that was Rico Kennedy and company. What did that do for the confidence of this defense, or was your confidence already there when you went into the A&T game?
It's not Rico Kennedy and company. It's the Morgan State defense, you know. We do it collectively from the defensive line to the linebackers, to the defensive backs, you know, Coach Jones, Coach James, Coach Keldon, Coach Nate, Coach Spearman, Coach Williams, you know, it's a collective group. It's a collective doing it. We all just buy into what Coach Jones said. First, it's a new day, and we're going to stop the run. That's our biggest main thing we need to do, is just stop the run and impose our will on offenses. So, you know, we just, as long as we stop the run, we know our defensive backs and the back end going to hold up. So, we just do that, and then everything else will take care of itself.
Rico, take me on the journey, man. What brought you all the way from Florida? You're a long way from home, man, to Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland.
First and foremost, I just want to thank God. I want to thank Coach Jones, Coach James. I want to thank you guys for this opportunity. And, you know, what brought me here is was a second chance to play the game that I love. And once I was awarded that second chance, I just took it and ran with it. But I just thank God every day for this opportunity because I'm blessed.
I want to talk about your specialty, man. You've made a cottage industry out of it. Tackles for loss. You do some big-time damage behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah, you do your damage to do across the line, but you really like to get after it and make stuff happen in the backfield of the opposition. Talk to me about the kind of determination and the attitude that you're able to get it done so regularly behind the line of scrimmage.
I got to thank my big guys up front, the defensive line. You know, without them, we're nothing. The defensive line is what runs our defense because with them holding up all them offensive linemen, that give us our linebackers, Demario Whitaker, Emmitt Burrow, Lamont Hill, Dex, you know, we deep. So that give us all free will to run and play free will as we need to.
Okay, 2 days away from homecoming, Rico. Spell it out for me, man. What are Morgan fans going to see? What am I going to see on Saturday from our Morgan State Bears?
A hard-nosed team that runs the football and stops the run and just impose our will on offense, defense, and special teams. That's the message. That's what's been forced into us since Coach Jones stepped in front of us. And that's what we're going to do, impose our will on all phases of the game.
Yeah, and Rico, I just also want to put out, you mentioned the defensive backs. Last game, the defensive backs were put under the gun. And constantly throughout the second half of that game, they just came up with one spectacular play after another. That has to be a great comfort. I played a little linebacker back in my day. It had to be a great comfort for the linebackers, you know, to know that those guys back there are getting the job done.
Yeah, like you said, you know, we got great depth top to bottom at each level of the defense, from defensive line to linebackers to defensive backs. You know, we respect all, but we fear none. I feel like we go against the best receivers in the nation in practice and in the MEAC every day, you know, with Manasseh Bailey, you know, Corey Holmes, and just all the receivers. We go against the best receivers every day, so that just makes our job that much easier during game day because, like Coach Jones said, you know, game day is the easy part. What you do from during the week from Monday through Friday leading up to Saturday, that makes it the easy part. So, you know, we work hard during the week. That it just makes it easy. So that allows the defense to do what we need to do.
That's number 28. He promised me he's going to do his 111th on Saturday. Rico, good luck on Saturday. Good luck the rest of the season. Appreciate you hanging out tonight, man.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
That's Rico Kennedy. And, Coach, before we let you go, talk to me about coaching these young men like Rico Kennedy, young men on both sides of the ball who have bought into what you're selling, Coach, and they are reaping results. What does that make you feel like as a coach when you see that coming into fruition on Saturdays?
I mean, it's great. You know, we want to coach what we call the RKGs, the right kind of guys, and it's a makeup. It's not just about football. It has to be young men who love their teammates, who want to be great teammates, who understand the brotherhood, who love the game of football. That's players and coaches alike, that we love being on those sidelines playing and coaching. And then it's got to be guys who care about their education, their academics. They want to go to class. And then they have to want to give back. They want to be other-centered. They want to give back to other people. Other people have to matter to these young people. So to coach men like that, young men like that, makes you feel good. And they believe in what we're saying. So nobody's questioning us and doubting us. We say, hey, do this and this will happen. Train like this and this will happen. They believe in us. They trust in us. We like that. And it's just great to coach young men like that. We're not arguing with them. We're not fighting with them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Okay. Okay. That's what we get every day.
That's Coach Jones, and the Bears are going to have at it on Saturday, homecoming Saturday, against the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. I want to thank Coach Jones. I want to thank Rico Kennedy, assistant coach Antonio James, for joining us. We're going to step aside and take a timeout. When we get back, we got the champs in the house. They won the MEAC last year, Morgan State women's tennis team. They set the tone. They set the temperature. We're going to talk a little tennis on the other side of the break. We'll be back right after this. We are 16 on the Park, rooftop restaurant on top of the Residence Inn. Back in a moment. You're listening to Morgan Sports Live. We are all the way live. It's Morgan Sports Live. We do it at 16 on the Park Rooftop Restaurant. We are high atop the Residence Inn on this Thursday night. Homecoming week on the campus of Morgan State University. Homecoming Saturday, this Saturday. Bears will be at Hughes Stadium, Earl C. Banks Field, to take on the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Morgan State looking to see if they can get another homecoming win. I'm Lamont Germany, got my partner in tow. That's Renard Stubbs. It was nice to get a homecoming win last year against Savannah State. But let's make this a habit, Stubbs. Bears are going to go after another one on Saturday against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it would be a nice habit to have. You know, we went a while before we were winning homecoming, so to get two back-to-back would be sweet, especially after a big victory 2 weeks ago.
Let me ask you something, brother. What you know about tennis, man?
I played a little bit. Played a little tennis.
Just shut up and
there.
Learn something. You don't know nothing about tennis.
Hey, look, man, I used to play a little tennis back in the park.
Not very well, I'm sure.
I didn't say I was Jimmy Connors, man.
We got some people with some skills, man, we about to talk to here. The champs are in the building, talking about the Morgan State University women's tennis team. They won it all. They were MEAC champions this past spring as they went down to the MEAC tournament and defeated all comers and brought it home. And the men came that close to making it a double dose of Morgan State University championship flavor. Unfortunately, the men falling in the championship match. But the ladies went the distance. We congratulate the ladies, and we welcome to Morgan Sports Live on this Thursday night the architect of that championship team, head man in charge of Morgan State University tennis, Matthew Towns, is in the house. Congratulations, coach, on the championship. Belatedly, I know you're working on another one. That one's in your rearview mirror, but we appreciate you hanging out with us tonight.
It's very glad to be here. Thank you for the introduction. You're right. We're already thinking about next season, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a season to behold, and it set the tone for what we're hoping will be bigger and better things as you move forward. Let me talk to you about what happened after the championship. You ran into a North Carolina squad that got the better of us. I guess my question, Coach, is can we get Morgan's tennis program to the point where we step on the court against a squad the caliber of a North Carolina, be competitive, and maybe even knock off somebody on that level?
Yeah, I most definitely think we have the ability to do so. I think it all comes being prepared on that day. You know, any given day, anybody can lose. Actually, North Carolina spent the majority of last season number one and number two in the nation, and they lost third round in the NCAA tournament. So we definitely know that if we stay focused and continue to build that we've been doing, we're going to be right there very soon.
Well, you've done a magnificent job, Coach, of building the tennis program on both the men's and the women's side. Talk to me about the kind of student-athlete that you have sought to bring to Morgan and what have been the pieces that have gotten both the men's and the women's to the stage they are right now.
I think I look for hard workers, obviously, number one, but it's a combination of the academics and the tennis. Not only are we able to be successful on the court, but we also have, both teams have the highest GPAs in the school, and our APR actually just had a meeting about it. It's very high, 990. So we're really proud of that and bringing in athletes who are completely focused and buy into what we're selling.
Of course, you have the magnet that is Morgan State University. What are the selling points? What is it that you put in front of student athletes that serves to attract them to MSU?
I think number one for our American athletes has been our ability to sell the kids on our facilities have been extremely valuable in the overall experience of the athlete. I think each and every player, when they come on campus, they realize that the staff is fully supportive, that their coaching staff really cares about them. And I think that opportunity of succeeding in class and on the court is something that really draws students here.
Let's talk about the season that's in front of us. You're just starting to get into it. When you are the champs, you know, you got the target on your chest, Coach.
Right.
Everybody's coming at you,
that's
man.
Right.
You're everybody's biggest match. Mentally, do you have a squad that's ready for that challenge? Athletically, are we good enough to once again be amongst the elite in the MEAC?
Actually, this team better athletically and mentally than we were last year. We returned five of the young ladies from our championship team, and those ladies have come back better mentally and physically than when they left after winning the championship. So I definitely think with the addition of the two freshmen we have, that this team is poised to be in a really good position at the end of the season.
Let's flip the script. What about on the men's side? Again, as mentioned, they came ever so close a year ago. How competitive do you anticipate Morgan's going to be on the men's side of the draw?
I think we're going to be very, very good as well. We returned six of our seven athletes from last season. We're still very young. We have three second-year players on the team. So I think with that experience and bringing the same team back, we're a lot hungrier and more experienced and ready to go.
Coach, let's talk about what you got on your schedule coming up. You know you do a lot of damage in the spring, but you also do some fall stuff. Talk about what you may have coming up and if there's anything going to be happening anytime soon on the yard.
Actually, we have a few things coming up. This weekend, we know it's a big weekend and homecoming, but we're also hosting a tournament right at home. The ladies and guys both play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so there's three opportunities for them to play. And it's not during the football game, so you can watch the football game, then come right on over to the tennis courts and watch us compete and do our thing. Also, October 20th, we have our fundraiser, our annual fundraiser on campus. It's $25. You can come out and either play a set against one of our athletes or receive some tips and some pointers on your game. I know there's some tennis players in the house tonight, so we invite you to come on out.
Allegedly, Coach. Allegedly.
We invite you to come on out. It's going to be a great event.
Not allegedly, LG. I did play a little bit of tennis back in the day, trying to train, you know, for some football. But, yeah, I definitely like tennis. Been into the game for years, you know, with Serena Williams and her sister, what they've done, and brought it really back to the black community where black people are even more interested in tennis nowadays. So I'm definitely going to keep track of you guys and see how you guys are doing.
Good, I appreciate that.
This is Morgan Sports Live. We're doing it from 16 on the Park. That's the restaurant High Top, the Residence Inn. 800 Wolf Street. Going to be on the air until the top of the hour, but going to be hanging out for a while tonight. So if you're anywhere in the vicinity, come on by and check us out. Again, 800 North Wolf Street. We are at the 16 on the Park restaurant atop the Residence Inn. Again, 800 North Wolf. Coach Towns, we're going to talk to one of the athletes that you brought down with you. Young lady on that women's squad, a sophomore. So she is still a budding star with the racket in her hand. We're speaking of as Mara Rose, who is from right here in Baltimore. And Ms. Rose, first of all, it's not past your bedtime, is it?
No, it isn't.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. We appreciate you hanging out
with us tonight.
And I guess for you, I'm going to start at the beginning. When did you develop an interest in tennis? When did you look at that racket and say, I want to pick that up and see if I can do a little damage with it?
This is actually a funny story because after I did my second practice today with my coach here, and I was taking a picture and I was thinking to myself, like, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mom because she actually had a dream that I was playing tennis.
Wow.
And that's how I actually got into the game. So it wasn't me deciding, like, oh, this is a sport that I want to play, but it was the fact that she had a dream that I was playing tennis, and here I am today.
And how long did it take you to enjoy it and realize that, hey, I'm pretty good at this?
I would say when I got to the age of 12. Like, when I was younger, I didn't take it that serious because I didn't like the workouts. I didn't like going to practice for so many hours. But once I actually got into it and started doing, you know, USTA junior competition, I actually realized that it's something that I enjoy and it's something that can even build a career. Like, I can build a career from it. So it was something that I really wanted to try and to get better at. So, yeah.
From right here in Baltimore, Randallstown High School, I believe. Why Morgan State University? What attracted you to the orange and the blue?
Well, truthfully, I just wanted to go to an HBCU. So it's like, I know there's plenty of them out there, but also my aunt is an English teacher here, and she told me a lot about the school, and it kind of made me more interested into going. So, and I also knew that, I don't know, like, trying out for the team was just something that I had on my mind. So I don't know, I was just mostly set on it. And plus, my brother is also he goes here as well. Like, he's an accountant major, so he, you know, comes back home. He lets me know what goes on at school. He's living on campus, so it's like, it just made me feel like that was the place to be.
Well, you know, I want you to share something with me, because I don't know what it's like to win a championship at anything. So I just want to know what the feeling was like when this past spring you and your ladies got it done and went down to the MEAC tournament and beat everybody down. What was that championship feeling like?
It was an amazing feeling, actually. And the fact was that this is my first year playing, you know, at a college, you know, a university. And the fact that I actually won a championship as a freshman, I feel like it sets the standards high. So it's just like, it really made me feel good. And truthfully, when I was playing, I really wasn't playing to win for myself. I was playing to win for a teammate, Daniel Thompson, who, you know, who was there for 4 years straight and they never won the championship. So my mindset was like, I need her to win. Like, I need her, because it's like I was so solely focused on her winning. And then once I realized that I finished my match, I was like, wow, like, this is more than just her. Like, this is like a team thing. So, like, it even got me more hype. It was like, I was just, you know, it was a good feeling.
Well, you know, now that you have the championship belt around your waist, there are going to be folks trying to snatch it off you.
Yeah.
And there are people who say that it is harder to defend it than it was to win it.
Yep.
What is your mindset now going into a new season looking to remain atop the MEAC pecking order?
My mindset is just to work harder than I did last year. Like, I always try to push myself more and more each day, because I know, like, it's not just the game of tennis. Like, the tennis game, it means more to me than just going on the court and hitting a few balls and then coming back off. It's the competition, and I love competition. So anything that I can do to help me win, I'll do it. Whether it's in the weight room, whether it's, you know, keeping up with the grades, because if I can't keep up with my grades, I can't be on the tennis team. So I just work harder every day and try to improve on anything that I can improve on, because I know it's only up from here. Like, you can't go anywhere else. So it's just like, I try to work really hard.
Talk to me about what I believe is an interesting dynamic when it comes to tennis, because I believe it is both a team sport and an individual sport at the same time.
Yes.
Obviously, your teammates are helpful in terms of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But when you're on the court facing the opponent on the other side of the net, there's but so much your teammates can do. Then it's on you. Talk to me about that dynamic between the team aspect of tennis and the individual, just you, aspect of tennis.
Okay, so when it's just me, I feel like it's harder. Because it's just like, when it comes to a team, it's just like, you can, it's kind of hard to explain. Like, when I'm doing it individually, like, I can only blame myself. So any mistakes that I make, I can only push it on myself and say, you know, I did this and this is what I need to fix. So it's a lot of pressure, especially when you know the mistakes that you've made and you know the corrections that you need to make. And then sometimes it's a little struggle into, you know, trying to fix those mistakes. Like, it doesn't just happen in a day. Like, it takes time. So when I'm on the court, I solely just try to focus on keeping my composure, because it's very hard for me. Sometimes I have a little temper, and since I love competition, I never want to lose. So, you know, it takes a little time for me to get myself together, get myself, you know, back to what I need to do and to win the game. Now, when it comes to a team, I feel like the team aspect is so much better. I feel like you can always count on someone. Like, you're not just by yourself. Like, I have a partner on the court with me. Like, I can go to someone to let me know, like, what I should do, like, what I can fix. Like, I feel like it's like I'm leaning on someone right now. So it's not just me. I don't have to put all the pressure on me. And plus, when you put a lot of pressure on yourself, it doesn't make anything better. So when you have a team and that one teammate, when you're playing doubles, to be like, hey, it's okay, like, it gives you like a sense of security and like to know that you're gonna be fine, and all you need to do is just fix it and to calm down. So that team aspect is really good.
How does fatigue play into your game? I mean, do you ever really get fatigued out there? And then when you do get fatigued, how do you adjust your game to stay sharp on the tennis court?
Uh-oh, you might ask her a question she don't want to answer.
Hey, I told you I played a little tennis in the day, so I do know a little something.
Well, that's a sport where you gotta be in shape. There ain't no question about that. My partner asked you about the fatigue issue. What you got to say about that, Asbury?
I would ask if you could rephrase the question for me.
How do you adjust your game when fatigue starts setting in? I mean, you know the things that you need to do.
Right.
But how do you calm yourself down? How do you adjust your game? And then regain your strength. You know, at some point you might get a second win. Okay. What is the key to that for you?
The key is basically me walking back to a fence. Like, really, on the court, you really can't do much. Like, it's not just you telling myself to calm down isn't going to do anything. Like, just saying, okay, Ismar, calm down. Like, that won't do anything. So usually I turn back, I keep my feet moving, I keep, you know, just footwork, and I take a few breaths before I start to play the next game or the next point and just regroup, because that's what it's all about. If you can't regroup, you're destined for failure. So I turn back around, I fix my strings a little, and then I just get right back into game mode because that's what I need to be in. So, yeah.
Talk to me about the talent that's around you this year. You have a group that was good enough last year to win it all. What's the comparative analysis between this year's group when compared to last year's group, and are we good enough to repeat this year, 2018-2019?
So, truthfully, I feel like the team last year wasn't too bad. Once we got rid of one player that was, you know, causing some, you know, stuff, but it was just like that one, like, once, like, it got better. Like, it's, I think it was like six of us in all, and then, you know, that one player left, it got five, and I feel like we all came together as a team, and we were all to work together, and it made things better. As for the team that we have now, I feel like we can make a better connection, but I feel like as far as, you know, the game goes with everyone, I feel like we can get to winning MEAC next year. Like, I feel like everyone has something to work on, and if we work on it every single day, like, it's no doubt that we're not going to win. Like, I have that much confidence in this team now than I had last year, so I think it'll be good.
All right, we're going to be keeping our eyes on you throughout the rest of this year, the next couple of years at Morgan State University. We thank you so much for joining us tonight. Coach, before we let you and your student athlete go, talk to me about goals, short-term, long-term, as you continue to advance and progress with this Morgan State tennis program, both the men and the women.
All right. That's a great question. I think our number one goal for the women's team this year is our divisional championship. We haven't won a division title since I've been the head coach. Actually, we haven't won a division since, I think, 2012. So even with our championship last year, the team we lost to in our division championship is the team we had to beat in the finals. So we definitely are keeping our eyes out on that. And even shorter term, just finishing out the fall on a strong note. We went down to the HBCU Nationals. The women's team finished second in that. We lost by 1 point. The men finished third in that. That's a really good start for us. Coming up, I said we have the tournament at home this weekend. I think we just try to get better day by day, and we try not to put so much emphasis on the long term, because then I think you miss a lot of what's happening right in front of you. You miss a lot of those moments to develop. I think 2-3 years down the road, my plan for this team is to win it, obviously, on both sides. The men, we haven't lost a conference match actually in the regular season since I've been the coach, and we've won the division every year since I've been the coach. I don't think that those goals are unattainable, so we're going to keep those there. But to build, the only thing left is to win the whole thing.
That's
we
the
lost
coach.
By one, so.
That's Matthew Towns breaking down the goal, short term and long term. Got to keep your eyes on Morgan State University tennis. And once again, Coach, because I know it's important, the fundraiser.
Yes,
sir. That event coming up. Give us the details about that. How can folks support what you're looking to
do? Yes, sir. Thank you very much. October 20th at home, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. right now is the set time. The 21st, which is a Sunday, will be a rainout day if there's bad weather on that Saturday. But you come out, it's a $25 donation to the program. We use those proceeds for our outreach programs and community service work. Last year, after our fundraiser, which was the first fundraiser, we actually went to the Cherry Hill community in Baltimore, and we did a free clinic and a exhibition for a group down there. And this year we're actually going to invite them back up to school for the fundraiser. So it's a lot of good things that are coming out of it. We hope that you all can come out and support us. October 20th, right there at Morgan's Tennis Court.
Matthew Towns, head tennis coach, Morgan State University. Coach Towns, Asmara Rose, thank you very much for joining us tonight. You made the night a good night, as again, championship night. You know, you set the tone, Coach, for the whole athletic department by winning the MEAC. They all looking to follow in your footsteps. Thank you very much for your time. Chips.
Thank you very much.
All right. Our pleasure, indeed. Coach is in the house, Coach of Morgan State University Tennis, as the Morgan State University ladies looking to repeat this year's Stubbs, and the men looking to see if they can go to distance as they lost in the championship match. Morgan State, a great athletic tradition across the board, including, as we're learning, in tennis.
Yeah, well, it's definitely great to see that the tennis program is at the top of their game, LG. And let's hope it can continue for years to come.
Indeed. Championship last year. We'll see what they do as time progresses. Tell you what, Stubbs, we got a game to talk about, man. Going to happen in a couple of days. Morgan State going to be on the field against the Bulldogs of South Carolina State, looking to make it two in a row, looking to go back to back. Got the win a couple of weekends ago, and as good as that win felt against the Aggies of North Carolina A&T, you really do have to put it in the rearview mirror if you're Morgan. Big win, yes, earth-shattering win, kind of changed the scenery in the MEAC, but really the focus has to be on the business at hand on Saturday, the South Carolina State Bulldogs.
Well, we've had a week to celebrate, you know, the huge victory and everything, but now it's time to get back to business. You know, the coach talked about running the football, playing defense. We got to forget about A&T. We got to be consistent now. We got to do it every week. They played two straight games, two straight impressive games, won a victory, and then I expect a big performance, a confident performance from the Bears on Saturday. I think they're going to step up and play a good football game.
One thing we haven't seen yet, Stubbs, is that offense just explode. They had a decent offensive game against Albany, almost won that game. But as we watch them week in and week out, it's obvious to me at least there are some playmakers on that offensive side of the rock. And I'm waiting for that game where that offense just goes ahead and do what I think they're capable of doing.
Well, the quarterback, DeAndre Harris, he's been getting it done on the ground. But if you remember in that A&T game, in the fourth quarter, he threw some strikes, Lamont, showed a strong arm. And a couple of the receivers, I think Jack McCracken, the tight end, made a spectacular catch down the middle of the football field. You know, Manasseh Bailey, he scored two touchdowns the game before. So the receivers are starting to get open. The running game is starting to work. That's going to open up that passing game for Morgan. And as I said before, let DeAndre run that football sometime, and it'll open things up in the middle for the Morgan running game.
And for those people who are wondering whether or not Morgan is for real, I think they are, Renard, only because of how they beat A&T, who they beat and how they beat them. They just outplayed them down for down, play for play. When a play needed to be made, Morgan made it. When they needed to get a stop, they got the stop.
It was like a heavyweight fight, man. They pounded. And then, as I said, the week before against Albany, you know, it was probably a misplay call that cost us that game. The defense has been playing well for the last couple of years. Now they're starting to come up with a whole bunch of turnovers, and I think the sky's the limit.
It's about consistency, though. It's about getting it done week in and week out. And as we chronicled 2 weeks ago, unfortunately, the A&T game does not count in the MEAC standings. But if Morgan and A&T do finish in some kind of tie when everything flushes itself out, Morgan would have that tie-breaking edge. But only if they take care of business from now throughout. And it's a South Carolina State team that really has gotten our number. They played 38 times, and Morgan's only won six times. So excellent. South Carolina State, usually we've done a whole lot of games against the Bulldogs, and not too often do we come away with the win.
Yeah, but it's a new day, and the team is playing with a new attitude, and I expect them to come out and play a pretty good game on Saturday.
We're going to see. Morgan State, South Carolina State. Kickoff going to be in the air along about 1 o'clock. Our coverage will begin on Morgan State University Radio with the Morgan Game Day Experience. That kicks off at high noon on Saturday as the Bears will go toe-to-toe against the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Looking to go back-to-back, Morgan State against the Dogs. Morgan after South Carolina State going to be on the road. They'll take on Savannah State and then back at home against the Howard University Bison in a couple of weeks in a game that really could be a showdown contest between two teams that appear to be heading north in terms of their MEAC fortunes. That could be a big game, Morgan against Howard. But the biggest game is the next game. And the next game is against the Bulldogs of South Carolina State.
I just think they're catching us at the right time. We're playing with some confidence. We've been playing well. I think this is the time for we could take home a homecoming win.
Well, we're going to wrap this thing up from 16 on the park. We do it high atop the roof of the Residence Inn. It's been a fun night as we get set for homecoming Morgan State style. The Bears will be at home, as we said, against the Bulldogs of South Carolina State. Want to thank head coach Ernest Jones, his assistant coach Antonio James. That linebacker was in the house tonight. That was Morgan State University junior linebacker Rico Kennedy. Also want to thank the tennis coach who joined us just a bit earlier, Matthew Towns, and his sophomore from right here in Baltimore, as Mara Rose. Want to thank my partner, Renard Stubbs. Been a fun hour. We're going to rejoin you on Saturday. Again, we're going to kick things off at high noon with the Morgan Game Day Experience. The Bears against those doggone dogs, the Bulldogs of South Carolina State, this Saturday, homecoming Saturday on the Morgan State University campus. For my partner, Renard Stubbs, my name is Lamont Germany. You have been listening to Morgan Sports Live.